Last Sunday morning, Brother Philip Thomas began a message that he preached on April the 3rd, 2016 at the Independence Baptist Church. The title of the message is The Flood of Ignorance. This is the middle part of that message. Listen very carefully to what he says, Brother Thomas.
The flood becomes a proving ground on whether one has understanding or they're ignorant. Okay? I'll say that one more time. The flood is a proving ground on whether one has understanding or whether they're ignorant. Because they say all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old. Now that's creation. The earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. And that's the flood. Let's just talk about a couple of subjects. But let's talk about them without the flood. You see, because without the, and why I say that it becomes the proving ground is because basically without the flood, you're left to make assumptions on a lot of things. First of all, you're left to make assumptions about science. You know, you can try to explain the fossil record, geology, plate tectonics, any of this, but try to explain it without the flood. Try to explain science without the flood. There really is no way to. You really can't explain our history without the flood without making assumptions. Here's the assumption. What's verse number 4 say? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. You know what most people do is interpret the past in light of the present. They look at the way things are and assume that because they see the way things are today, that that's the way things have always been. Okay? If the sun does this, if the earth does this today, it's always been the same. If man does this or someone does this, it's always been the same way. And you begin to say, nothing ever really changes. Everything's the same as it's always been. Since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. If you want to discount that one time where God intervened and destroyed the entire world, you know, but that's a pretty big piece of information to leave out. So let's talk about some science. Let's talk about the Grand Canyon. Let's talk about anything like that. But let's talk about the Grand Canyon. That's near and dear to us. Everybody here in America likes that. What does it take to make a Grand Canyon anyway? What does it take to form something like that? What would geologists say? They'd say that that takes time. They'd say it takes millions of years, right? It takes time. Is that accurate? Yeah. Partially. You know, there's any number of variables that could go into that. Erosion, wind, radiation, the Colorado River. You know, there's a whole lot of variables that could go into what it takes to make a Grand Canyon. So what formed it? So what happened there? Well, people look at what goes on today, and they look at the Grand Canyon, and they see about how much wind, and about how much radiation, and about how much erosion goes on each year. And they make an assumption that because they see that today, that's the way that it's always been, and they backtrack it and say, well, it took this however many millions of years to do that. They look at processes that are slow and therefore tell us it takes millions of years. Now, we all know that that's an assumption, right? And it's an assumption because you're dealing with variables. Now, the kids always like it when I talk about math, right? I'm kind of the math tutor, right? And I like to talk about math. Everybody knows what variables are, right? What's 10 times 10? It's 100, right? What's 25 times 4? 100, right? What's 50 times 2? 100. That's how variables work. Now, if you have 10 times 10, that's 100. If you take one of those numbers and make it bigger to 25, you can take this number and make it less to 4 and still get 100. You take that number and make it even larger to 50, you can take this number and make it even smaller to 2 and still get the same answer, right? 10 times 10, 25 times 4, 50 times 2. That's what we call variables, things that can change. You still get the same answer, right? All three of those problems work out to be the same answer. Variables are things that can be changed. You say, why is that important? Well, take an example. Washing my car. How long would it take to wash my car? Depends on what I use, right? Now, if I use a squirt gun, how long is that going to take? If I use the hose that's hooked up to the trailer, which is or to the house that you might have, that's what most people use. What if you get one of them big old water cannons on the back of one of those fire trucks? You know what you've done? You've changed a variable. You have an end result. The car is going to be washed either way, but based on which one of those methods you choose, you've just changed the amount of time that it takes to wash a car. You ought to go on YouTube sometime and watch that video of that guy getting hit by that water cannon. That thing shot him way back. There's a lot of water. There's a lot. It just like that. You say, how long did it take for the Grand Canyon to form? Well, I guess if you start with the Colorado River and a little bit of erosion, a little bit of wind, and a little bit of radiation, it takes millions and millions of years. But what if I increased one of the variables? What if I put some more water on there? And I don't mean double the size of the Colorado River. I mean, let's flood this bad boy. Let's take the entire earth and flood it. Let's put that canyon under such immense pressure because it's under so much water that it begins to crack and crack and crack. And you know what I've done? By changing one of the variables, just by changing the variable, I've changed the amount of time. Now see, what I did there was math and science. Teaching about variables, teaching about how things work. And what I did is actually, you know, it's actually science too. I can give you an example that's observable and doable. You can take a squirt gun, a water hose, and a big old water cannon off the back of a fire truck, and you can observe the difference. Okay? And you can measure how long it takes each one to wash a car. Those things are math. Those things are science. And yet, while I did math and science, what I'm told that I believe is really religion. And then it becomes ridiculed. When I say that I believe in a worldwide flood, and I use that to describe what happened with the Grand Canyon, now all of a sudden I'm ridiculed because, well, that's religion. That's faith. And all of a sudden now the accusation is made, well, that's not science. Really? It's actually, to me, it's just as much science as you assuming that everything continues the same way as it always has been for millions and millions of years. That's actually something that's not observable. It's something that's not repeatable. It's something that's not doable. That's actually not science. When actually I can provide variables and I can give demonstrable evidence, that's actually what science is. See, here's the thing. And sometimes we feel weak because we don't always feel equipped to answer every argument. And we don't know, and I don't always feel equipped to give every answer to every single subject. I don't know about microbiology, and I don't know about human anatomy, and I don't know about every distinct and every question that's out there, you know, as it applies to science. But I do know that there are a lot of times that we have just as justifiable science as anyone, and we're told that we're believing something, and that science is against us. When in fact, you say, well, it's always been this way for millions of years. That's actually belief, not science, because that's not demonstrable. That's not doable. That's not observable. You see, sometimes we get ridiculed and we feel like we have to kind of huddle back in a corner and just go on believing God's word without any real justified reason to. And it's just not that way. And in fact, the Bible says that they're actually the ones that are ignorant, making an assumption that something's the same as it's always been when God has not only given the demonstration but told us historically, I intervened. I did this. The reason the world looks the way that it does today is a process, you know, started by catastrophe. What about fossils? Fossils are interesting because they're a testament to the flood. Let's assume that your cat dies. I don't like cats, so I'll use cats. All the girls in the back are, not my cat. I don't like cats, so it's a cat that's got to die for the illustration. So let's assume your cat dies. And it lays out in the road. How long does it take to become a fossil? Any guess? A year? 10 years? 100 years? A million years? Think in your mind, guess an answer. Everybody's wrong. It's a trick question. It doesn't become a fossil. Right? There's a lot of variables that go into that. Predators, wind, radiation, storms, and erosion, all of those things. If your cat lays out in the middle of the road, it's not going to become a fossil. Unless it gets buried shortly thereafter, before it has a chance to be picked by scavengers or to fall victim to one of the variables that are around, such as erosion and things like that. So you either have to have something like that that's tangible, or you're left to make an assumption that, well, I'll go tomorrow and it'll still look the same, and I'll go the next day and it'll still look the same. And you know, every great once in a while, some dust or some sand will fly over, but I guess if everything never changes and everything always stays the same as it is today, in a couple of million years, it'll become a fossil. That to me sounds just as unrealistic as just about anything that's out there. And yet, I'm the one that's told that I'm not realistic, because I believe that fossils are a testament to the flood. I asked Cece on the way here today. I said, Cece, what's it take to make a fossil? She says, you got to have a lot of water. And it has to be buried. And you know, my 9-year-old knows more real science than a lot of what I learned in my school days. And she doesn't know this yet. And I hate to break it to her in a setting like this. But as she grows, if she continues to hold to those beliefs, she's probably going to get made fun of. And she's probably going to be ridiculed and laughed at. But I want you to know you're right on the money. You know what? God's word is true. Okay? And it's something that we can see. And it's evidenced each day in our lives. And I can just give simple illustrations like that to show you that God's word is true. It is believable. And again, assumptions are made, and it's not being made by us. It's an assumption to say that things never change, that there are no variables that could change. It's an assumption to say, well, that it takes millions of years because I saw it in a lab, I watched it in a lab for a month, and therefore I'm going to date it backwards from that. So again, the flood becomes a proving ground of understanding or ignorance. You know, oftentimes when you ask people to show evidence for why they believe in evolution, they'll give you one of those things which are assumptions. Well, it looks like this would happen if these things didn't change.
Very interesting, is it not? If you want to hear some more about the flood of ignorance, we invite you to listen in next Sunday morning at 8 o'clock, and you will hear Brother Thomas deliver the conclusion of this message. In the meantime, we have our Sunday school beginning at 10 o'clock this morning. You're welcome to come. And our preaching service then begins at 11 o'clock. Our evening service begins at 4:30, and then our Wednesday evening services are 7 o'clock. You can check us out on the internet by going to www.independencebaptist.org, and there's many articles and all kinds of information there about what our church believes and stands for. Just check us out. Also, there's messages on sermonaudio.com/IBC. So all that information is there. It's available for you. But if you're looking for a place where you can really worship God, God's way, we invite you to come to the Independence Baptist Church of Forestell, Missouri. We meet at 124 South Main in the city of Forestell. Thank you now for listening.